Foundations Lesson Number 16b, Fasting, Part 2. Going on to Roman numeral number 3 on our outline, I'd like to examine the results of fasting that the Scripture tells us about. For starters, God has clearly told us that fasting with godly motives will be rewarded. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, Jesus is speaking. He says, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Even though the details of the reward are not described, Jesus wanted us to know that God rewards those who fast. The most prominent result of fasting in the Scripture would have to be the miraculous deliverances God engineered. We've already read how Jehoshaphat called a national fast. The results were more than amazing. God gave what might be considered to be the strangest battle strategy in all of history. The musicians were stationed at the head of the army to praise the Lord. As they did so, the three enemy forces turned on each other so that not one of them was left alive. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. Then in the book of Esther, the nation of Israel was delivered from near extinction after people fasted and sought God. The book of Jonah describes how Jonah prophesied against the city of Nineveh that in 40 days the city would be destroyed. In response, the Ninevites declared a fast and sought God. The result? Jonah 3:10 says, "When God saw what they, the Ninevites, did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened." As inspiring as testimonies of God's miraculous intervention are, there are other results of fasting which may not be as dramatic, but they're very important to the plan and purposes of God. In Daniel chapter 9, we read that Daniel turned to the Lord in prayer and petition with fasting. What happened? The angel Gabriel visited him and imparted insight and understanding to him. Similarly, when some church leaders were worshiping the Lord in fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke, saying, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." That launched the first of 4 missionary journeys for Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, causing an enormous spread of the gospel through much of the known world. We read of another result of fasting in Acts 14:23, which says, "Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust." Apparently, the selection of properly qualified leaders in the churches and the commissioning of those leaders to do their job in the grace of God was so crucial to the proper function of the church that it was only natural for prayer with fasting to accompany a matter of such importance. I wonder how many problems in the church today would be avoided if we were more diligent to pray and fast over the selection and commissioning of church leaders. Turning to page 2 on our outline, Roman numeral number 4 deals with some pitfalls that need to be avoided when fasting. It shouldn't surprise us that Scripture has to address this subject. With a practice that's designed to be as powerful as fasting is, it's no wonder that obstacles need to be overcome. Jesus pointed out that our motives in fasting must be pleasing to God. He said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Because God sees everything, no special behavior is required to get his attention. Since true fasting is to be done unto the Lord, not men, our outward appearance is not to be any different on a day of fasting than on a day of normal eating. The prophet Zechariah had to address the issue of fasting for the sake of ritual. He writes, "By asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, 'Should I mourn and fast in the 5th month, as I have done for so many years?' Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me, 'Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves?" Apparently, the people of Zechariah's day were going through the motions of religious obligation, but in their observances they failed to have a heart for the Lord. Isaiah also had to confront the people of his day who were fasting, but doing so in place of obeying God in other areas of their lives. I'm reading from Isaiah 58, starting in verse 3. It says, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" As Isaiah points out in these verses, we can't expect to use fasting as a band-aid to cover up disobedience to God in other areas of our lives. Another pitfall to be avoided on our list comes from the New Testament. In Luke 18, Jesus tells us the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. He says, "The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.'" It's all too easy for us to congratulate ourselves after successfully completing a fast, but this is a huge mistake. We have to train our minds and our hearts to believe what's written in Luke 17:10, where Jesus said, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Finally, care should be exercised in breaking a fast. The longer the fast has been, the more self-control is needed. When we fast, our intestines are in a state of deep rest or sleep. They have to be woken up gradually and gently. Eating small quantities of food, well chewed with plenty of water, is a good idea. Also, starting with raw fruits and vegetables, and then eventually graduating to breads, then dairy products, and last of all, meats, is also beneficial. Before ending this lesson, I'd like to read a poem from Arthur Wallace's excellent book, God's Chosen Fast. The poem was written by the author, and it reads, "On Sinai's mount with radiant face, to intercede for heaven's grace, upon a stubborn wayward race, he fasted. Once lifted from the miry clay, when opposition came his way, this soldier king would often pray with fasting. A seer possessed a vision keen, who told the troubled king his dream, had light on God's prophetic scheme through fasting. The prophetess in temple court beheld the babe the two had brought, for him she long had prayed and sought with fasting. He came to break the yoke of sin, but ere his mission could begin, he met the foe and conquered him while fasting. 'Set these apart,' the spirit bade, 'a spring that soon vast rivers made, broke ope by men who, as they prayed, were fasting. So shall they fast when I am gone. Was that no word to act upon? Ask countless saints who fought and won with fasting. When we shall stand on that great day and give account, what shall we say if he should ask us, 'Did you pray with fasting?'" Amen. God bless you all.